Glory be to God. Who loves the Word? The Word is life for those who find it. What if you don't find it? No life. What if you find a lot of it? A lot of life. Did you know you can have life abundantly? Doesn't that mean you could have it less abundantly? He's using these kind of words when he says, I've come to give you life and that more abundantly. There's a quantitative, is that a word? Element. It's a big word. There's an element to life that is of a quantity. So we can have more or less of that life. What if you get the life of God in your physical body? Healing. What if you get too much of it in your physical body? Divine health. And yes, you can give it away. You lay your hands on the sick and they recover. This is our job, hallelujah, is to receive as much life as we can possibly stand. Spirit, soul, and body. Until we're dripping. Everywhere we go, we drip. Right, Alan? You drip. Hallelujah. Life more abundantly. More. And then abundantly, once again, God overflowing with too much. Right, Patrick? It's too much life. What do you think happens when people fall out under the power? That's too much. Some people don't even know what hit them. I don't know. I just went to church and I woke up 3 hours later. And they were still having church 3 hours later. What? Are you going to preach for 3 hours? No. But you know what? When God shows up, you either go with him or you don't. It's still your choice. It's always your choice. And when he says you can have life more abundantly, it's your choice. How much do you want? He said you can come to the well and drink. Drink, drink, drink. He didn't tell you to stop. He just said keep going. Be being filled. Be being filled until you're just so completely filled. And guess what happens? You stretch. It's like your wineskin stretches. That's why they put new wine in new wineskin. What happens when it expands? Because it expands as it ferments. It expands and it gets bigger. So your capacity for life can actually get bigger. What do you think of that? Glory be to God. So you may be saying, I'm going to receive all the life I can. What do you know? Why is it that you can eat something an hour after you just stuffed yourself at Thanksgiving? Because your stomach expanded. Is there a limit to what your stomach can expand to? Let's find out. Now, let's spiritually, though, okay? God equates his word with eating and food. So you can eat and eat and eat, and you expand to that level. More life. More. More, more, more. Hallelujah. All right. Well, y'all have your Bibles with you today? I hope so. This is a faith and healing meeting. Why did we put faith first? Because I believe healing comes through faith. Now, can you have more and more faith? Does it grow? It absolutely grows. Jesus likened it to a seed. Do seeds grow? That's what they're designed to do. Jesus said, if you have faith as a what? As a full-grown tree, then you will have the fruit. No, he said, if you have faith as a seed. Well, seeds are designed to grow. So faith, and there's a design to this type of a meeting. It's to fill you with the word so that faith comes and grows. And if we do this right, by the end of tonight, you will have more faith than you had before. Well, I had faith a couple days ago. Now I don't have any. Well, you need to acknowledge the faith that's in you and then feed it some more. You ever not feed a plant, not water a plant? What happens to it? It doesn't do too good, does it? What if you put some Miracle-Gro on it and you put it in the right kind of light? Not too much, not too little. And then you water it when it needs water. What happens? It does well, and it grows. And some people have a knack at that. They call it a green thumb. Can you have a green thumb in growing the seeds, the Word of God? You are God's garden. Hallelujah. If we learn how to do it, I'm telling you, if we learn how to do this, there's nothing impossible to you who believes. I prayed in tongues all the way back from Florida to New York in a Ryder truck. All the way. I was moving somebody and I said, well, I was all by myself. What else are you going to do? Didn't have a tape deck in it. Had the stupid radio and I don't want to listen to that garbage. So I said, I'm going to pray in tongues. So I prayed in tongues, and it takes a while, at least, what, 24 hours? I don't know. It was a long time. And my mouth was worn out by the time I got back. But as I'm driving down the hill to return the truck, God spoke to me in an audible voice. No, I don't think so, but that authoritative voice where he says something specific to you. And he said, there is nothing impossible to the man who hears from God. There's nothing impossible to the man or woman who hears from God. Why is that? Because with what you heard, the faith came. So what's the key? Is to hear from God. Hear from God. We should get tuned in. We should learn how to hear from God. Where do you hear from God? With just your physical ears? No. We start to hear with the ears of our spirit. Right? So you should be listening with your spiritual ears. Listen from your belly. Hallelujah. Now, what's the opposite of that? We have scripture of this. What if you feed you? You were quoting it the other day. If you feed your belly, meaning your physical belly, it's opposite of the kingdom of God. If you yield to your carnal belly, so we're going to yield to our spiritual belly. And we're going to listen with our spiritual belly. Come in and you shut your head off and you listen with the ears of your spirit. Why? Because you want to hear from God. Hallelujah. You ready? I'm going to run through this. This is kind of a review, but it's important. Why do you review? Because these are the steps we're walking up to go to a higher level of faith. And so we can review these things to make sure we got our feet on the right staircase. You don't want to be going up the wrong staircase. Get to the wrong place. Where are we going to? We're going to Healingville and Divine Health. And it's at the top of the stairs, brother. Well, I'm not there yet. I know. We're all going up the same thing. Divine Health. No sickness. None. Do you see yourself that way yet? Nothing and no sickness coming on you. Did Jesus have a problem with sickness coming on him? For the really bad cases, he swayed away from those because he didn't want to get it on him. Who's supposed to be walking like Jesus in the earth? You are. Hallelujah. He was a lamb without spot or blemish. Do we have any blemishes? Do we have any spots? Glory to God. When we walk in the light of divine health and healing, all spots are gone. Hallelujah. He's our example. Jesus is Lord. Glory be to God. All right, 1 John 5:4. Like I said, these first couple of scriptures, I'm just going to run through them real quick. We're establishing faith. Hallelujah. 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. What does born mean? To give birth, right? So if something is birthed by God in you, it overcomes the world. What's in the world? Specifically, we're talking about sickness. But there's other things in the world. There's poverty. There's debt. There's recession. There's all kinds of things that are in the world. Well, this says if there's something born of God, it will overcome the thing that's in the world. That's good news for you. Because whatever God gives birth to on the inside of you, and how does he do it? He does it with his word. Whatever he gives birth to on the inside of you will overcome the world. There's nothing impossible to you when you hear from God. That's the first part of giving birth on the inside. All right, whatsoever is born of God, overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Our faith. Everybody say, my faith. Overcomes the world. Romans 10:17. Jesus is Lord. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes. How does faith come? Faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing. It comes by hearing. It comes by the hearing. Now, Jesus always said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So we're talking about hearing from God. What are you hearing? His words, not his trumpet blast. Faith comes by hearing the trumpet blast. No, faith comes by hearing God speak to you. The word is God speaking to you. All right? Don't fall asleep on me. I'll come out and stand right on your chair. Hallelujah. Psalms 107 and verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. What did God send to heal people? His angel? His golden trumpet? His gold dust? What did he send? His word. And what did his word do? It healed them. How did it do it? What comes with the word? What comes? Faith comes. When the word comes, faith comes, and there's nothing impossible to the man that believes. How does God heal his people? This is the number one way. He sent his word and healed you. I say it every day. He sent his word and healed me. He sent his what? His word healed me. And people, you got to get this. What will heal you? The word of God will heal you. Where do you receive his word? In your spirit. You hear it with your spiritual ears. Can you hear it too much? Can you expand in your ability to hear? Can you have more life coming on the inside of you? And I've got news for you. It comes out of your spirit into your physical body. That's where healing comes from. You don't need it to come from me. Ooh, I'm radiating up here. No, you need the word to be down on the inside of you, and it will come out to the outside. It manifests. Hallelujah. Are you making fun of praying for the sick and laying hands on them? Absolutely not. But I'm saying this is the number one way, is for you. You get healed this way, and this is why I want everybody in this church healed this way. You get healed by hearing his word, and you've made the connection. You don't need any other connection. You won't have to go from here to there to some other place. And I understand when people are baby Christians, they might not know, and obviously Jesus laid his hands on people. He tells us to lay our hands on people. But for you, you are to receive the engrafted word, believe it, and receive it and be healed. You hear with your inner man. Hallelujah. His words are spirit and life. Spirit. They speak to your spirit. Some of you can acknowledge that right now. It's hitting you in your belly, not in your head, I hope. Because I'm not giving you these grandiose explanations about it. I'm just telling you the word. So you can just look at me with a deadpan look like, and I'll know what you're doing. You're receiving the word in your spirit. He sent his word and healed them. Luke 5:15. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, Jesus. And great multitudes came together to what? To hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Jesus was the word. They came to hear him. Hear what? What were they hearing him? Sing a song? Snap his fingers? Was he making weird sounds? No, he preached to them. They came to hear him and be healed. The Bible said, we just read it, he sent his word and it healed them. Now he's gone and he's speaking words and they're being healed. Isn't that amazing? This is God's method, people. You need to be healed. It's by hearing the word. You hear the word and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. You need faith for healing. Where's faith for healing come from? Hearing the word concerning healing. You need faith for finances. Where does that kind of faith come from? Comes from hearing the word concerning finances. Same with everything. And that life comes with the faith to the degree that you can receive it and hear it. There's nothing impossible to you when you hear from God. Nothing. Hallelujah. You mean I can do anything? Yeah. If you can hear from God, nothing impossible for you. You're only limited by your ability to hear from God. Not even by your good looks or your abilities, your physical natural abilities. God's supernatural power can do anything for you if you can hear him. Acts 28 is the last chapter in the book of Acts. Jesus is Lord. 28 verse 27, almost all the way at the end there. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. Let that not be us. And their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. People like to put that word converted and healed together and say, well, that just means, you know, spiritually healed. Well, you aren't spiritually healed. You're spiritually born again. You're recreated. But your physical body, and that word, and we'll get to this in a later message, it's the Greek word K-H-O-L-E-E, kholi. It is the most common word in the Greek for sickness and disease. It was used in the Gospels all the time. Of the lepers, of the woman with the issue of blood. All of these people were obviously physically sick. Right here it says that if you would see with your eyes, hear with your ears, and understand with your what? Your heart. You don't have to understand it in your head, thank God. That you can understand it with your heart. The Bible says that you understand by faith. We understand. So we're understanding by faith with what? Our minds? No, we understand in our spirits how this works. You're going to hear with your ears. You're going to understand with your heart. Be converted. And I should physically heal them. See with your eyes. Hear with your ears. Understand with your inner man, your spirit. And he will heal you. This is God's method. This is God's method for you every single time. You hear the word of God. If you can hear from God, you will be healed. Period. It's God's method. It works every single time. It'll work for you stranded on the island of Patmos or some other island. Wouldn't matter. You can hear from God. Did John hear from God on the island of Patmos? He probably didn't have any Bibles with him at the time. Not even the Gideons were there. But he heard from God. You can hear from God just sitting in your room. I heard from God in a Ryder truck. Changed my life. So you understand with your heart. Now do you see there's a progression here? You see with your eye. You first have to see something. And then you have to hear it. And then you understand it where? With your spirit. Sometimes it takes you a while. And I understand this. Sometimes spiritual things are just, I don't get it. But if you continue to look and you continue to hear, then all of a sudden that understanding will dawn upon your spirit. And then the miracle takes place. So don't be discouraged if it doesn't seem, well, I went to the healing meeting and now I'm the same as I was before. No, you're not. Your inner man is being fed and changed. You're getting understanding. Life is coming into you by the word of God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. This is going to get good, people. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Now listen to me. This was Peter talking about the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus. He went with Jesus up to the top of a hill. The top of a hill. And he was there with Peter, James, and John. And Jesus was transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. And then they heard, and then a cloud enveloped them, and they heard out of the cloud a voice out of a cloud. A voice out of a cloud. That's life-changing, people. Right? What's wrong with you? I just heard a voice speaking to me out of a cloud. With Jesus, he turned into a fireball right before me, and then this voice said, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." Right here, he's talking about that, and he says, "For we have also a more sure word of prophecy." What does more sure mean? More sure than a voice speaking to you out of a cloud? That's what we all should have, shouldn't we? Right now, a big cloud should come in and speak to us. Would it be more sure than what we have right here? Believe me, I want the cloud to come in. I'm not saying I don't, and I've preached on the cloud. Anybody who's been here for a little while knows, man, it's all he talks about is the cloud coming in, and, you know, the glory, and blah, 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 blah. You should have took me to scripture a long time ago, brother. This is more sure than your little cloud thing there. You understand? We have also a more sure. It means it's more solid. It's more permanent. Jesus said his words will never pass away. Heaven and earth pass away. What's in heaven? The clouds, right? And the earth pass away. But my words are more sure. My words will never pass away. We have a more sure. Okay, let's say I'm Mr. Prophet. And I prophesy healing over you. What's more sure than that? God's word that already said you were healed. Should just go, yeah, I know, brother. This is more sure than a cloud with Jesus himself and the Father personally speaking out of it. More sure. I'm not making this up. We have also a more sure word of prophecy whereunto you do worse that you take heed. What? Oh, yeah, you do well that you take heed. To what? What are you taking heed to? What does taking heed mean? To listen, to pay attention, to look at it. Look at it. Look at it. Listen to it. Get the understanding of it in your heart. Does that mean just read it once? Absolutely not. You aren't getting it yet. You got to keep looking at it and meditating on it and saying it and feeding it down into your spirit. It's more sure than the physical ailment in your body. This word is more sure than poverty that may be trying to come against you. It's more sure than anything in the world, and faith is the victory that overcomes it. Faith will come as you hear that word. God speaking to you in a more sure capacity. I'm telling you, this is more sure. You getting his written word down in your spirit is more sure than a cloud and God himself speaking to you. Why? Blessed is he that believes and has not seen. They saw it. He said, you're more blessed if you haven't seen the great thing and yet you still believe. More sure. Everyone say, more sure. We also have a more sure word of prophecy whereunto you do well that you take heed. You do well. How are they doing? Well, they're doing well. Why are they doing well? Because they've been taking heed to the word. Well, do you want to get well? How are you going to get well? You're going to take heed to the word and you do well. Doing worse, brother. Well, what are you taking heed to? The symptoms. The doctor's report. The creditor on the phone. No, take heed to the word and you do well. Take heed as unto what? A light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. How do you know when you've paid attention enough? Something dawns on the inside of you. It arises on the in, where? In your spirit, man. You're taking heed to the word of prophecy, which is the scriptures. And then all of a sudden, after meditating on it, paying attention and feeding it down in there, it dawns on you. We have people go, Eureka! I figured it out. It's something dawned on them. If you get it that way, it's more sure than any other way. Do you see that? This is the more sure way to walk in health, healing, divine health, prosperity. Glory of God. Get the glory of God through His Word. Get everything through His Word. It's more sure. Nobody can shake you off of it. Ever. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. It's not just for me. Well, I don't know if that applies for me. Yes, it does. Right here, he said it's of no private interpretation. Meaning, you know, it's not just for the Jews. It's not just for me. It's for everybody. Everybody who will do what? Hear it. Receive it in their spirit. Be converted. He will heal them. Proverbs 4, and this is where we left off last week. Welcome back. Proverbs chapter 4, my favorite scriptures here, verse 18. But the path of the just is as the what? Shining light that shines a little. No, it shines more and more until the perfect day. What did he just say about the word? He says if you meditate, it'll dawn on your spirit. It'll shine brighter and brighter until all of a sudden you break forth unto whatever the word was that God spoke to you. Here it says, the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness, and they know not at what they stumble. Verse 20, my son, attend to my words. What does it mean to attend? You attend to it. What if you ever, anybody ever get perfect attendance in school? You did? I tried not to have perfect attendance. I was trying not to go to school. They give you that little star or whatever it was at the end. I'm like, ha, 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 ha. You spent those 30 extra days in school for that little star. Shame on, no. Attend. Attend to something. What are you attending to? Well, I got to attend to the stove. I got to attend to my roast. I got to attend to my job. I got to attend to my kids. I got to attend to blah, 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 blah. You know what it means? Pay attention to something, right? To attend to it means to take care of it. Nurture it. Get right into it. And make sure nobody messes with it. Same thing. Do that with His Word. Pay attention to it. Treat it like a baby. You have a really fine automobile. You see the guys out there? They're buffing it down. Don't even think about scratching it. Come out there with a baseball bat and break both your legs if you scratch their car. Seems awful extreme, doesn't it? Scratch on a car, break both legs. This is how you've got to be about the Word of God. Why? Because it's life to you. This is God speaking to you, and there's nothing impossible to you when God speaks to you. Glory be to God. My son, attend to my what? He could have put anything, you know, God could have done anything there. He could have said anything he wanted to. Attend to my angels. Attend to my glory. Attend to my cloud. That's hard for me to say, people. I love the glory in the cloud and I preach on it all the time. But he didn't say that, did he? He said, attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. What does it mean to incline your ear to something? remember that E.F. Hutton commercial? You remember that? You remember that? When E.F. Hutton talks. You know, they'd be in a busy mall or something, you know, and somebody'd say the name E.F. Hutton, and everybody'd be really quiet. What does that mean? That means that name immediately made them perk their ears up and listen to what he said. We should be like that when prophecy comes forward. God's saying something. Let's hear what he said. We're attending. Our ears are quick to hear. And you can be this way with your spiritual ears, your belly. Because somebody may be saying something. I hear this with preachers all the time. Probably do it with me while you're sitting there listening. I'll be going on, blabbity, blabbity, blabbity. And all of a sudden I'll say something and you're like, yeah, that was good. Right? All that other stuff, I was like, wah, 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 wah. But then all of a sudden, something good came out. And you can tell, and there's different degrees, and I know that up here. Sometimes I'll be speaking under the inspiration. Other times I'll be like, where did the inspiration go? And you look to find it. You're following like a trail. But you should be able to know when you're right on. How do you know? You're inclining your ear. It's something about the tone of what that person just said sounded like God saying something. Hallelujah. And what is that? You're inclining your ear to hear. You're hearing. You're starting to be in tune. Glory be to God forever. Hallelujah. By the way, that was good right there. That part was good. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Incline your ear unto my sayings. You know he's not talking about your physical ear, is he? It does start there, though. They're connected somehow. Must be like a cord connecting them because they're connected. You got to hear with your physical ear. Well, what if God just spoke to you in the nighttime? Did he speak something with the physical ear? No, he spoke right directly to your spirit. He can surpass that. Because he's God, of course. But generally for us, it comes, if we're going to do this, we're going to make our physical ear hear, and then we can hear with the spiritual ear. Glory be to God. Let them not depart from your eyes. Let what not depart from your eyes? His word. This is all about the word. What do you mean, depart from your eyes? Well, how do you read it? With your eyes. You look at it. Something about looking right at God's word makes an impact on you. The other part of it is that you got to see what he says. Words create pictures. You ever heard that? A picture is worth 1,000 words. Well, a word is worth 1,000 pictures if it comes from God. One word of God can change your life. And what's it do? When he speaks healing to you, what do you see yourself as? Healed. By his stripes, I was healed. You cannot say, by his stripes, I was healed, and keep that in front of your eyes and in your ears without eventually seeing yourself healed. You cannot say, I am prosperous, and not see yourself eventually that way. It will dawn on the inside of you, and all of a sudden you'll start acting differently. Actually, you'll start giving more things away, not holding on to them so tightly. First thing that happens to you, because you start seeing yourself different. Why am I holding on to this? I got so much else coming. You keep giving it away. You see yourself differently, and that's part of what he's saying here. You see something differently. We're going to get into this in just a minute. Hallelujah. Let them not depart from your eyes. If it doesn't depart, he's telling you to let them not, which means you have control over it, don't you? You have the ability. So let's say the Bible says, by his stripes you're healed. Well, I'm sickness going to come into your room and I'm going to make you think about that you're sick. What are you going to do? You're going to cast down that and you're going to keep your vision of what God said to you, whether you feel like it or not. Is that making sense? Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. You're going to keep them somewhere. First you got to get them there, and then you got to keep them there. Why doesn't he just say God's going to do this? God's going to sovereignly come down and make you look and hear and think, and then he's going to keep it in your heart because he loves you so much. He wants to do it for you. He reveals these things to people who have ears to hear. Why didn't Jesus do that then? Why didn't he just come and just make everybody understand it? Because it's a spiritual thing. You've got to get beyond a person's will. You got to get beyond who they think they are and take them to a different place, which is spiritual. Hallelujah. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they, verse 22, they what? My words, the words of God, are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. His words are what? Life to you if you find them. But they're written right here. What do you mean find them? There's some seeking that has to be done. Seek and you shall find. Do you remember Jesus ever saying that? Why don't some people ever receive or find healing? They weren't seeking in the right place. You know how many people have gone all over the country for the next faith healer to lay hands on them? Where were they looking for their healing? They were looking for the next faith healer. Where were they looking? They were looking for the man of God to do some, perform some supernatural miracle. You got to look in the right place. You look in the Word. And you keep the Word in your eyes. You keep the Word in your ears. You keep the Word in your heart. And then it dawns on you. And it becomes life more and more to you as you find it. And it becomes health to some of your flesh. All of your flesh. Here's the scripture, people. It, the word, is health to all your flesh. Well, what about teeth? Yes, teeth. Well, what about eyes? What about, you know, feet? What about, who cares what it is? All is all. Well, God doesn't promise healing for everybody. Yes, he just did. He said if you'll attend to his words, he sent his word and healed them. You must attend to it to receive the healing that comes from the Word. They are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. In the margin of my Bible, it says medicine. What is medicine to your flesh? God's Word is medicine to your flesh. Now, what if you had a doctor give you a prescription? Anybody ever have a doctor give you a prescription? What if you said, oh, glory to God, the doctor gave me a prescription and you put it on your bedstand and you never took it? He gave you the prescription. You have it, it's yours, but you never took it. You never did what the doctor told you to do. You need to take this 3 times a day with a big glass of water before meals. Right, or whatever they say. What if you didn't take it the way the doctor described it or prescribed it? Would it do you any good? It wouldn't have the effect it was supposed to have. So what if you don't take God's medicine the way he prescribed it? Does it do you any good? Well, I have the word, brother. He gave me the word. And so I'm going to take it with me at tonight and put it on my bedstand. Where it will gather dust. And you will still be sick and unhealed. But if you take God's word as medicine, healing and health to all your flesh, you take it as he has prescribed it, it will produce the desired result every time without fail. Without somebody laying hands on you. Without anything other than his word having the effect on you that it's supposed to have. You will be changed. Every time. Every time. Without fail. Glory be to God. Isn't that wonderful? I about, you know, jumped out of my skin the first time I heard that. That's why I love this verse so much. Because it's not dependent on anybody else. Don't you like that? I like not being dependent on anybody else.
Yes, brother, we know that.
But that should just make you happy. That means that you, with your Bible, all by yourself, in your room, can receive healing or prosperity or anything else that God has promised you by getting it into your spirit and believing it. There's nothing impossible to the person who hears from God. Nothing. That's you. And you don't have to wait on me to do anything about it. What do you think of that? Hallelujah. You and God can do anything. Everybody say that. Me and God can do anything. You and God can do anything. If you can hear from God in your spirit, man, there's nothing impossible to you. Nothing. Be the richest man in the world. What? God never promised that. Do you know who some of the richest people in the world were? God's people. There was an article in Time magazine. I used to remember the date. It said the richest man in the world. And guess whose picture was on the front? Time magazine. Solomon. Even today. You know, you'd stack up a bunch of Bill Gates and all these other Warren Buffett and all these other people. They still don't measure up to what God did because you had somebody. Actually, he wrote something very similar to what I've been preaching on here. Here's the richest man in the world telling you that if you listen to God with your inner man and you keep his word there, it will be life to you and health to all your flesh. Where did the power shine out of Jesus? From the outside in? Don't think this. Don't think that you need God to shine on you from the outside in. The kingdom of God comes from the inside out. And it will expand to the degree and the capacity that you receive his living word on your inner man. It will dawn on you and you'll shine like a light bulb. Now you're preaching glory again. I know, but it came from the word. Hallelujah. Yes. Glory be to God forever. His words are medicine to all of your flesh. All of it. Hangnails included. Eyebrows. Well, I got this eyebrow problem. I don't care what the problem is. It is, I've never heard of an eyebrow problem. It's medicine to all of it. All of your flesh. But what if you don't take the medicine? He told you exactly how to take it. I'm going to read it one more time. He said, attend to the words, incline your ear to his sayings, let them not depart from your eyes, keep them, his words, in the midst of your heart. They are life to those that find them and medicine to all their flesh. That's your prescription right there. You're not dependent on anybody else. You have control now. Hallelujah. That should make your face smile so wide you look like Botox or something. What happened to you? I went to the society meeting. And it's like, was that one of those meetings where they Botoxed your face? Yeah, that's right. Holy Ghost Botox. Can't stop smiling now. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, help me. All right, Numbers 21. Numbers? Faith preachers talking out of Numbers? What could possibly have gone back there? Hallelujah. 21 and verse 6. Hallelujah. And the Lord sent fiery serpents. Everybody say, fiery serpents. Among the people. And they bit the people. And the people of Israel died. Is this good? You're going to learn something right now. The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore, why did they die, first of all? What happens when a serpent bites somebody? Is it because it bit them all over and they bled to death? No, some poison went into them. Obviously, the fiery part was, it felt like fire because the poison was going into them and it killed them. So what really killed them? The poison. They were poisoned. Glory be to God. And the people of Israel died. Much people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord." What did they do against the Lord that caused this to happen? They spoke. God's big on words, you know. "For we have sinned. We've spoken against the Lord." What was the sin? Speaking against the Lord was the sin. It brought poison into the camp. "We have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. Verse 8. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looks upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and he put it on a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, and he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." What could that possibly mean for us? Get the picture here. People had poison in their bodies. It was going to kill them. God, Moses heard something. What did Moses hear? He heard the words of God. The word of the Lord came unto him. What was the end result without going through all this? What is the end of the result of Moses hearing the word? People were healed. Can you hear from God and get other people healed? Absolutely. The key is hearing from God. It always comes from the word. It's always God sent his word and healed them. Always. Here's people, they got poison running through their bodies. They probably got a limited amount of time, right? Some people know this. "Well, if you get bit by one of those snakes, you got about 13 minutes. I hope you got a paper and pen handy. Yeah. That's right. And sit down and put your foot over your head. Whatever. You've got a limited amount of time. Right? So they got poison in their bodies, and God speaks to Moses and says, "Make an image of this very thing, an image of the very thing that's killing them, and put it on a pole." An image, a picture, a thing that looks exactly like the thing that bit them, and put it on a pole. And then it says, if they will stare at it, and they'll look at it, and because that's what he says. They'll look at it. It's that continuous gaze, like hearing and hearing. It's the same thing. Looking and looking. You gotta look at it, stare at it, gaze at it. Don't let it out of your sight. Keep it in the midst of your heart. Same type of thing. Keep it there. If they will stare at it and gaze at it and hold it there in their minds. What did he say would have happened? That God would be healed. They would live. What if they took their eyes off it and decided to go play some volleyball with the rest of the camp kids? They wouldn't make it to the first, whatever they call it, innings or whatever, I don't know. Is there an inning in volleyball? Set, thank you. He made an image of the very thing that was killing him. And he put it on a pole. Why? Does God just pick weird things out like that? He just decides, well, I'll try to think of the weirdest thing I can possibly think of. Just to make people, you know, keep one step ahead of them. They'll never know what I'm doing. Never. No, he did it for a reason. Some of you know the reason. But there is a reason why he did it this way. But we understand it came through the word, and it came through them doing the same action of attending to something. Glory be to God. The end result was they were healed. John chapter 3 and verse 14. What if they didn't behold that snake, that fiery serpent? What if they didn't behold it? They died. This was their way out. The word was their way out. God sent his word and healed them. It was their way out. They had to picture the exact thing on the pole that was killing them. John chapter 3 and verse 14. And as Moses lifted up, everybody say lifted up, the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be what? What does even so mean? In the same way. The same way that God sent his word and healed the children of Israel is the same way that he heals us. Jesus was lifted up in the exact same way on the pole. Well, are you equating a serpent with Jesus? That's sacrilegious, isn't it? No. What were they beholding? They were beholding the thing that was killing them up on the pole. Jesus bore the thing that was killing you. He bore it away. He took away the sickness. He bore your sickness. He carried it away. He bore the poison that was in you, killing you. And if you will behold that and look at that and keep it in your mind's eye that Jesus took the sickness that's trying to be on you, what will happen? You will be healed every time. This is God's written word. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Was he lifted up? This was him prophesying of it. Then he was. He bore your sickness and carried your pain and took away your sin. He took away the poison that was killing you. And when you behold that and look at it and look at it and look at it and you attend to it and you hear it and you keep that before your eyes, Bible promises the same as you will be healed. The same as they were healed by Moses lifting up the serpent. The same as Jesus being lifted up. You will be healed. So what are you going to picture on that cross? Jesus? Yes. But Jesus doing what? Bearing your sickness. Bearing the poison that killed you. Jesus bore your infirmities. Go to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs. Surely he has borne our griefs. The word grief, every. Everybody say every. Everywhere else in the Old Testament, it's translated sickness or some type of sickness. Except here, I don't know what happened to them. Maybe they fell off the wagon that day or something. I don't know. Or did they fall back on the wagon? What is it? On or off? One or the other. This is where Jesus is bearing your sickness. Look at this. Surely. What does surely mean? Maybe? Someday? Maybe? It might happen. Surely. It's a sure thing. A more sure thing. This is written in the Word. It is so more sure that God couldn't show up in a cloud and tell you anything different. This is more sure. Surely he bore it. He bore your sickness. And carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He bore it. So when you see Jesus on the cross, bearing, just as Moses lifted up the serpent, your sickness was on Jesus. You don't have to bear it. If you're bearing it, then he bore his in vain. He bore yours in vain. He already bore it. Surely. That's the gospel, people. That is the good news. Wasn't it good news to the people who were bitten by the snake? What about the people who died before the word of the Lord came? Too bad. They should have watched out for the snakes. They shouldn't have been talking about God. But don't you think they were glad that the word of the Lord came and then they could take the opportunity to look at the serpent on the pole? You should be happy that we have the ability to look at Jesus bearing our sickness on himself on the cross. People don't all over the country have no idea that this is in the gospel because nobody's preaching it. And how can they hear without a preacher? Well, what do preachers do? They preach words. Surely he bore them. Okay, Galatians 3:13. I hope your spirit man is being fed. I believe it is. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. What did Jesus hang on? A tree. What did he bear? The curse. Who did he bear the curse for? For us. Jesus bore the curse. You don't need to bear it. You bear the blessing. He bore the curse. You bear the blessing. That's good news. Hallelujah. What's in the curse? And we're not going to go there today. We'll do this at a later date. What's in the curse? Sickness and disease. Every sickness and every disease. Can you imagine that coming on anybody? This is what happened to Jesus. Every sickness, every disease came on him. He bore it. Poverty is part of the curse. War is part of the curse. Plagues and every kind of evil thing you can think of. The curse, Jesus bore it on the tree. We get that through our thick skull and down into our spirit, man. We will see that we no longer need to bear any of it. He already bore it. By his stripes we're healed. Hallelujah. But how are you going to get there? You're going to take your medicine. Every day you're going to look at it. You're going to think about it. You're going to hear it. And you're going to say it. And you're going to hear it some more. The best way to hear is by you saying it. Jesus bore my sickness. I don't have to bear it. Jesus bore my sickness. I don't have to bear it. You cannot say that. I'm telling you. You cannot say it without you having eventually the image of yourself completely healed. And then live in it. Because God's word does never return void. This is God's method. I hope I'm showing you that right now. Hallelujah. You're not dependent on anybody else. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 1:18. I want to get through this one. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them, is to them that perish. What does perish mean? They die. They aren't making it, people. The people on Titanic, they perished. What didn't mean they belonged to the first parish? It meant they perished. They died. Okay? The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But to us which are saved, guess what that word saved is? Sozo. It means whole and healed. And it's used, guess where it was used? All over the New Testament. When the woman with the issue of blood was healed, she was sozoed. She was healed. Physically healed. Do you understand? The preaching of the cross is to us that are healed or made whole, the power of God. Now, to them that perish, you gonna believe in all that faith healing stuff? I don't believe any of it. Yeah, and guess what happens to you? Perish. They are the first perish. The first two perish. But to us which are healed, it's the power of God. What is the preaching of the cross? The holding up of the brass serpent. The holding up of that Jesus bore your sins. Jesus bore your sickness. Jesus bore your poverty. Jesus bore all of the curse of the law. To us who receive it and are made whole, this is the power of God. Hallelujah. Foolishness to people who perish, who are sick, who die. But it's healing to us who believe it and receive it. The preaching of what? The cross. What was on the cross? Jesus bearing your sin, Jesus bearing your sickness, Jesus bearing your poverty, Jesus bearing your curse, Jesus bearing everything bad and ugly. Bearing your ugliness. Now you're just beautiful all the time. Because Jesus already bore it. And you're going to, if you hold this, if you take your medicine and hold this in your mind, well, I don't believe it yet. I don't care. Still hold it there. And say it with your mouth. By Jesus' stripes, I was healed and I am healed and sickness can't come on my body. And when you keep saying that and you hold that in your mind and you put it in your ear and you're inclining your ear to it and you keep it in your heart, it will dawn on you and you will become the Word made flesh and dwell among us. That sounds extreme, brother. Yeah, glory be to God. Welcome to Extreme Church. I don't know where you thought you were. I believe in extreme healing. That means every single cell of your physical body operating the way God designed it to, and sickness can't attach itself to you. Healing. Divine health. Why do you want to bear something Jesus already bore? There's no reason. You can't even come up with a good reason. If Jesus bore, and he did, all of your sickness and disease and the curse of the law, what excuse do you have to bear something? You don't. So take God's medicine. Keep it in front of your eyes. Incline your ear to it. Keep it down in the midst of your heart that Jesus bore your poison. Paid the price for it. You are going to get a kick out of this. Turn with me to John 16, and I'll end with this. Mark 16. It's the last verse. Last chapter in the book of Mark. Hallelujah. Verse 15. This is Jesus talking. And he said unto them, go you. Who's he talking to you? He's talking to you. And he said unto them, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What gospel? The gospel that we just talked about. It's the good news. It is that to us who believe and are whole, it's the power of God. Preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 16. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Same word. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved or healed. He that believes not shall be damned. These, and healing means it encompasses everything. Okay? It's not just physical. It's everything. Your finances can be healed. When your finances are healed, glory to God. Hallelujah. He that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow who? Them that believe what? Them that believe the gospel. God's word about him crucifying sickness. Him crucifying poverty. Him crucifying sin. Snake on the pole with the poison. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they what? Cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. Listen right here. You've never heard this before, I guarantee you. What did Moses do? He took up a serpent and he put it before people. He took it up. Jesus had to be taken up and put up. What are these people that believe do? They take up the serpent. And I read some of the other translations, and everybody knows this. Well, if you get bit by a serpent, that means if you get bit. No, is that taking up a serpent? Oh, that's getting bit by a serpent. That would be the part that they did before Moses took up the serpent. The best translation says lifted up. It means to lift up the serpent. What do you do when you lift up the serpent? Thank you. You put it on the cross. What are you doing? When Moses lifted up the serpent, he put it on a pole so people could see it. What are these people doing? They're lifting up the serpent. In my name, they'll cast out devils, they'll speak with new tongues, they'll take up or lift up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. What is a deadly thing that people drink? It's poison. What was biting the people? Poison. This is just saying the same thing. They're going to lift up that serpent. They're going to lift it up. They're going to say that demonic oppression was put on the cross. Poison and its effects on you was put on the cross. They lifted it up. I hope you got that. Hallelujah. They shall take up or lift up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. It's the same stream of sentences. They're going to lift it up. They're going to say that poison can't hurt you, and then they're going to lay their hands on people, and they'll recover. You meditate on that. Glory be to God forever. What are you doing when you lift up the cross? You're lifting up that the serpent was crucified on the cross. Everything that was poison to you was taken away on that cross, nailed to the cross. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. And so after the Lord had what? Spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Hallelujah. John 3:14 said, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. You know, lift up serpents. It said, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. They lifted up that and they put it on the cross. Hallelujah. And we know that Paul was bitten by a serpent and it didn't have an effect on him. But some of those other translations say, they shall, listen to this. I think this is the Word of God translation. They shall be bitten by snakes and drink poison. Believers, and you, people have done this, right? And we know how, that just, that doesn't sound right. That translation or that inference of this scripture does not sound right. You shall be bitten by a snake. Well, that's good news. You shall be bitten by snakes. No, thank you. And drink poison. It makes no sense, Rich. It makes no sense. It says you're going to cast out demons, which means exercise authority over the devil. Right? It starts out there. Are you with me? It starts out with exercising authority over the devil and speaking with other tongues. And then being bitten by snakes and drinking poison. I don't think so. This is not Christianity. What it is, it lifting up the serpent saying, no, this is on the cross. Sickness is on the cross. The evil thing biting you that is full of poison shall not hurt you. All right. I just had to drive that one home a little more. Looking at me like a cow at a new gate. Like, I'm not going through there. I got to read this one again. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it does not, and it doesn't go here. And this is why, you know, people will say, well, this can't be true. Because they weren't hearing it. But you meditate on it, and all of a sudden it dawns on your spirit. Hey, this is what's going on here. Even as Jesus was lifted up. Even as the Moses lifted up the serpent. This is what they did. They lifted up the serpent. They said, no, it's crucified on the cross. And poison. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. He sent his word and healed you. His word is healing you now. We need to listen to his word, incline our ears to his word, see ourselves the way the word tells us we are. You should do this every day. That sounds weird, brother. No, this is scriptural. Sit there and picture and imagine yourself as healed. Sit there and picture and imagine yourself as the blessed of the Lord. Sit there and picture and imagine yourself as with a devil under your feet and all of his things. Keep it before your eyes or your seeing. Hallelujah. And be quick to hear what God is saying. Slow to speak anything else. Father, in Jesus' name, we receive your word this evening. We thank you that we hear with our spirits. This word is now working in us mightily. It's affecting a change in us. It's affecting a change in our physical bodies. We are healed. Jesus bore all of our sins, all of our sicknesses in his body on the tree, and we are healed. We see ourselves healed. We say that we're healed, and we don't receive anything else. Healing is taking place in us right now because of your word, which is working and is active and effective right now in our lives, in our physical bodies, in every area of our life. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father, that we are healed. Everybody say, thank you, Father, that I am healed.